Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Mark Crotty and Anthony Heron in for Spiegel and Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score today. White Sox have been playing better lately. Just took two out of three from Kansas City. Split with Detroit. The White Sox are at Houston tonight. Shane Smith against Lance McCullers. And Steve Stone does join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It's nice when the team you're covering is playing better, isn't it, Stoney?
Well, it is. And it's not only the wins. Obviously, everybody's looking for wins, and you certainly want to do that. I'm looking at the kind of baseball they're playing. What I'm watching is some young guys who have just burst on the scene who seem to me like they're going to be here for a while. It doesn't look like a one-and-done type when I talk about Mydroth, although I believe he's going to be a second baseman and not a shortstop. I think that this guy has shown that he can really hit. Anytime you put the numbers on the board like he has, you get to two strikes. He has no problem with that because he is a contact hitter. So looking at him, looking at Teal coming up, and I know that Kyle is going to hit for some power. Right now he's just trying to make some contact and looks pretty impressive. His pop time to second base is just outstanding. He had one below two the other day, threw out the base runner at second base. It was Waters, who's got pretty good speed, and he got him, and he got him by a pretty good margin. So you look at that, you look at Vargas, who's really come alive of recent vintage, and you realize you make a mistake on Elko, he's probably going to hit it hard. I'm not quite as sure as him as I am of some of the other young guys around, but Colson Montgomery is starting to hit the baseball out of the ballpark. He's probably the shortstop of the future, you would assume. And so, yes, along with Edgar Caro, there's some hope. There's some guys who can really play. They're young. They're aggressive. They never give up at bats. They hustle every moment. And so, yes, I think things are looking a whole lot better for the Sox these days.
So then what I want to ask now, Steve, is are you starting to see – I know you just mentioned these guys as guys that are looking good as young players, but are we starting to see that next wave, that next, dare I say, core of players? When you mentioned Mydroff and Teal and Vargas and Caro and so on and so forth, are we seeing the guys that might be here the next time the White Sox win?
I think so. I mean, they're young enough, and I think they're good enough to be at least a core. With a few additions, there's no doubt that the bullpen needs a little attention. Taylor probably is going to come up. I don't know exactly what he's going to do, but it looks to me like this is a guy that can fill a role in the back end. I looked at his stuff in spring training, and it's really impressive. So that's one of the guys. I mentioned Colson Montgomery, another one of the guys. Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz are a couple more guys. So, you know, there was many years when there was so little talent in the White Sox organization that you looked at it and you said, you know, there's not a whole lot of hope unless they start developing these guys. And then Chris Getz in his front office made some really good trades. I know Garrett Crochet is a number one starting pitcher. He's good enough where you can take him. He can start the first game of the World Series for you. But the Sox knew that when they gave him up. But the four guys they got in return, looks like that's going to be a really good trade for both teams, and that's really what you want to do when you make a deal, because then you can make another one with the same team. The Red Sox had a stacked organization. Sox took advantage of it. And so it looks to me like there is a lot of hope for the future, and along with the next wave of guys, this particular wave of guys, looks to me like, number one, they seem to understand how to play this game. And I can't speak highly enough of Will Venable because, you know, he's a rare combination of a type of manager that the players both like and respect. You really don't have to have both. I mean, as long as they respect you, they don't have to like you. I played with a number of managers that the team didn't like very much, but it really didn't matter. If they have a respect for him, and I think you look at Will and you realize his father was a major leaguer, he was a major leaguer. I think he understands how difficult this game is. I think he understands and has a high baseball acumen. He's really in the infancy stages of what I believe is going to be a really strong career. And then I look at the moves that Chris Getz made, and it's not just players he brought in. It's a revamping of the front office with some quality guys that also understand how to put together a real good team. And so I think that I think the positive sign, the arrow is pointing straight up, I think, for the Sox organization. And bear in mind something. This is not the National League West, and it's not the American League East. Mm-hmm. It's the Central in the American League. There's some decent teams. Detroit, obviously, is very good. But you don't have to beat super teams on a daily basis to be able to compete for a wild card or the division championship.
The point you were making there about Will Venable really intrigues me because, you know, of course, the previous regime with Pedro Grifol, the concern was that perhaps just you weren't seeing a team that was ascending. You weren't seeing improvement throughout the season. That's evident right now in Venable's first season running things. And a lot of the credit that you kind of doled around there, I'm wondering how much more cohesive is the infrastructure just within the organization, not only at the major league level, the way that the minor league talent is being developed in a way that seems in line with what the big club wants them doing. Is there a lot that's just working much better now than perhaps it did a couple of seasons ago?
I think there's a lot that's happening better. I think, you know, occasionally when Chris Withers, who's one of the finest producers in the business, he'll get a reaction shot from that dugout. You'll take a look at that dugout, and you'll see just about every one of those guys congratulating the guy who did something really well. It's not only just a base hit. It's moving a guy along. It's hitting a sacrifice fly when you can't afford a ground ball with the infield in. And these guys are all pulling for one another. And the best thing that can happen for these guys is that they start to learn how to win together. Because to be a good major league team, it has to come in stages. And the first stage is to be competitive a lot later in the game. And I think we're seeing, unlike last year where this team was blown out quite a bit, this year this team is competitive late in many of the games. So you get to that point, and then you have to learn how to take the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, because that's really what good teams do. From the time this game started, the bad teams give the game away in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, and the good teams take it away. And I think that's what Davis Martin said in a recent interview. He said this team is starting to learn how to take games away late, and that is the next stage. And I think that's what the team is doing. So, yes, it's a completely different group than the Pedro Grifol team. And I liked Pedro as a person. I thought he was terrific. You don't have to play in the major leagues. You don't have to be a star to be a really good manager, but I think it really helps. And I think the pedigree that Will Venable comes from is really helping him right now. He's helping him understand something. I think that Will leans on his coaches a lot. He gives them a great deal of autonomy, and I think he's listening to all of the pitching gurus in this organization. You got Matt Wise in your bullpen. You got Ethan Katz, who's a really good pitching coach. And you bring in Brian Bannister, who came to this organization with the hope of turning this thing around. Brian Bannister is one of the elite front office guys in all of baseball as far as pitching is concerned. And I think Will is really helped by them. I think that's something that maybe Pedro didn't do enough of. I thought Pedro made a few pitching mistakes. You can remember back in a key game, Carlos Rodon didn't throw out of the bullpen for most of the season. He put him in a key situation, and boom, a three-run homer, and that was about it. So I think that Will is not going to fall victim to any of that. And from what I've seen, and again, it's very early in Will's career, from what I've seen, he's got a very high baseball acumen, and he seems to understand the moves he has to make to get his team at least in a position to win the game. Then it'll be, of course, up to the team, whether they come off the bench, whether they're trying to close, whether they're trying to set up, or whether they're coming in the sixth inning in a key situation. he seems to be pressing the right buttons at this point. I think he's only going to get better.
Well, one of the names that you mentioned in that incorrectly, because he has sounded nothing but impressive, is White Sox pitching coordinator Brian Bannister, which brings me back to, I'm glad you mentioned his name, because that brings me back to Grant Taylor, the pitcher the Sox promoted from AA Birmingham. He's the Sox sixth ranked prospect for MLB Pipeline, or per them, recently moved to Birmingham and their bullpen last month, 9 straight scoreless appearances, struck out 18 against 1 walk and 9 in the third innings of relief. He's done some starting as well, but Steve, check this out from Brian Bannister. He calls him one of the best arms he's ever seen. What do you think about that coming from Bannister?
I think he's right. I mean, I watched him in spring training. I haven't watched him during the course of this year, quite obviously, because we got our hands full with the major league team. But his stuff is overwhelming. Then the one question you ask is, can he consistently throw it in the zone? You mentioned the strikeout-to-walk ratio. It's otherworldly. So apparently, with a fastball that can occasionally get to triple digits and some really impressive breaking stuff, he's able to get everything over the plate. And so, for me, you have to go with the organization and the needs of that organization. So I mentioned Hagen Smith. I mentioned Noah Schultz. They're two left-handed starters, and when they do get here, they're going to add to that starting rotation because they're not relievers at this point. You have very strong starting pitching in the major leagues right now, as you're seeing game in and game out. I mean, these guys, these starters are doing a wonderful job. So the organization needs a guy at the back end. Whether that's set up or close, I think, from what I've seen, Grant Taylor has the stuff to close. I think he has the mentality. I think he has the consistent arm on a daily basis to be able to do that. And I'm not going to quibble with Brian Bannister. He's been around too long and done too good a job to not know what he's saying. And when he gives a guy that kind of praise and puts that stamp on him, I got to believe him.
So Michael Kopech was in the not-too-distant past as the guy with the enormous stuff, similar stature to Grant Taylor as well, and we saw him go starter, reliever, closer, and deal with, you know, both physical and mental, emotional things on and off the field. There's no perfect formula for developing the modern pitcher, but are there things to learn from Kopech or others who just, you know, the Sox haven't necessarily been able to kind of get them to the finish line of what it felt like was great physical potential?
Well, one thing that you have to realize, and that is outs.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
The outs at the end of the game are just unbelievably tough. And those outs in the ninth inning, those three outs in the ninth inning are like no other outs in the game. So then you ask yourself, from a psychological standpoint, because physical, you're right, Michael Kopech had really good stuff. I don't think he ever had the overall stuff of Grant Taylor, but he had a pretty good fastball. And bear in mind the philosophy, because when Michael was coming out of Texas, his philosophy was throwing the ball through the catcher instead of to the catcher. And he always was a guy that wanted to start, and maybe that was one of the reasons why things didn't work out well. He also had some physical issues, but I think that Grant Taylor has a lot over Michael Kopech in that department, and we'll just have to see how he does, because we don't know what he's going to do in the major leagues. I just know that the tools you need for outs 25, 26, and 27, he's got. Most guys don't, because when you talk about lockdown closers, you're talking about a guy that will be successful 85% of the time. Then you look around the league and you ask yourself, how many guys like that are there in the major leagues right now? And the answer will be maybe five, maybe six, maybe not, maybe less. So it shows you just how tough that job is. And until you put somebody in that role, you don't really know how he's going to do. I've seen a lot of really good setup men, a lot of eighth inning guys that got everybody out. I'll take you back many years, and most of the people listening today might not remember Paul Ossenmacher, who came from Atlanta, came to the Cubs, eighth inning, lights out. Nobody could hit him. Ninth inning, they beat his ears off. Why? Because those last three outs are really difficult, and very few guys can do it. I think Grant Taylor can do it, but the proof will be, can he do it in the major leagues? And that remains to be seen. But one of the things that I like is that Baltimore for years would take guys with enormous potential. They would start them in the bullpen, and then eventually they would come and be a starting pitcher. I think just the opposite can be true, and I think one of the reasons why they started Grant Taylor initially was they wanted to get the reps in for him. They wanted him to face all the situations. They wanted him to go after maybe 18 guys, get to 15 outs and then get out of there. But I think that stuff lends itself to the closer, and now it'll be up to Grant Taylor to be able to do that. I can't wait for him to get here. I can't tell you when it's going to be. I just know he's going to be here. And when he does, guys, I want you to take a close look at that stuff. It is elite stuff. And if you've got the rest of the package to go with it, and we will know when he gets here, then I think they've got themselves a back end of the bullpen guy, a guy who can close. And look at how good this team looked at times when Liam Hendricks was coming in. Mm-hmm. And he was a 30-plus save guy a year. He could get those last outs. He was a converted starter who moved to the back end of the bullpen, picked up another 2 or 3 miles an hour, maybe 4 miles an hour. I saw him as a starter, and quite frankly, he was on his way out of the game. But as a closer, he was one of the best in baseball. And I think a lot of guys expect that Grant Taylor's probably going to do the same thing. Now, will he do it at that level? It's going to take some experience. But I am anxious to see.
That's really interesting stuff. And I see your Paul Ossenmacher, by the way, Stoney, and I'll raise you a LaTroy Hawkins and a Carlos Marmol, both guys that were really good in the eighth inning for the Cubs back in the day. But then when they were put in the ninth, it just didn't work out. So there is a different mentality that exists with that. And Grant Taylor, by the way, just giving the full stats, I gave you the 18 Ks to one walk, as Stoney said right out of that question. This year, a 101 ERA in 15 games with 37 strikeouts to 11 walks, a 135 average against. So hopefully we'll get to lay eyes on him tonight when the White Sox are at Houston just a little bit later on. Stoney, I got to get off the field just a little bit because the news came out that the White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf has a deal in place to possibly sell control of the team to billionaire Justin Ishbia as early as 2029. What do you think when you hear that, and what will it mean to this organization?
Well, the rest of that deal says that Jerry has to sell by 2034. So there is a gap between 29 and 34. As you guys know, it's 5 years. So if Jerry wants to, that's control for 9 more years. At that point, he'll be 98 years old. And so I looked at the deal, and I also looked in the fact that Justin is going to put some money into the organization. I think that's certainly going to help, because I think when the Sox look at what they have going into next year, maybe make an addition or two, perhaps a few extra bucks would lend them to go out and get somebody else that can really get it done. Because there are a couple of things that the Sox really need. This is a small ballpark when it gets warm. When it gets warm, the rate is one of those ballparks where the ball just flies. Mm-hmm. I think the Sox need some more power, and that's one thing that they're going to have to address. And they need the back end of the bullpen. That bullpen has to start to coalesce around the back end, and then you get some other guys who are used at the back end who would be much more serviceable in the sixth or seventh inning. And so I think that for a lot of people who don't believe that they're going to live to see the next championship for the Sox, I think they're looking at a team that's really just starting to put everything together with some young players who have talent. And the one thing that you'll see from a Will Venable team, I haven't seen anybody loaf yet. Luis Robert is having just a horrific offensive year, and yet he's among the best in baseball at stealing bases, and he's among the best in baseball playing defense in center field. And the other day when he hit a ground ball, the inning would have ended except Luis Robert was running with everything he had to first base. This is a guy that's been hitting 180. You can get pretty depressed hitting 180 in the major leagues, and yet in a situation where he knew if he hustled with everything he had, he could beat the play at first base and keep the inning alive. That shows me that this has been addressed with each and every one of these players. That's not only Will Venable, it's his entire coaching staff that said, boys, we're going to give you a blueprint in how to play good, solid, winning baseball when we get to that point. But you have to lay the foundation. And as we watch each and every one of these games, we are seeing the foundation being laid. And so for me, it's very exciting. And hopefully we see more of the same with a couple of additions. I think that this could be a team that's relevant.
And their relevance, hopefully, like you mentioned, you kind of referenced the idea of more wins being on the way here and to be at the bottom of the division, but be hopeful about where the Sox are at right now. It's a fun position to be in, one that we haven't been able to really operate in for a couple of years at this point.
You're right about that, and I don't think anybody can argue with you there. Last year was one of those things that when you looked at it, you went, wow, this is really tough. And, it was difficult, but you have to go through that. I mean, you look at some of the teams that won championships. Look at a three-year span of the Houston Astros. Look at a three-year span of the Kansas City Royals. You see a whole lot of those teams that aren't the Los Angeles Dodgers and aren't the New York Yankees or the New York Mets. They go through some really trying times before they get to the point where they're ready to win. They make an addition or two, and all of a sudden, you got yourself a team that is at least contending for not only the division championship, but in the case of both of those teams, World Series wins. And so, I'm seeing the start of that. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen because this is a really strange game and very strange things happen. And the predictions are very difficult to make down the road. But, occasionally you come up with a Miguel Vargas prediction and it works.
Yeah.
And so that's what kind of I'm looking at here.
And it's been a frustrating stretch just for Chicago baseball fans in general. And now with the way things have gone on the north side, things looking up on the south side, can you take us into that space that you've been able to operate in a way that a lot of folks haven't, when both organizations are really pushing chips in a way that feels like they're prepared to win? If we're going to be there in the not too distant future, what are those times like?
Well, I think it's wonderful. And, look, I still remain, and I'm very proud of this, I still remain the only person that's ever pitched for both teams and done both radio and television for both teams, meaning the Cubs and the White Sox. And I saw some winning years on the north side of town, and unfortunately I haven't seen the winning years on the south side. I wasn't here in 2005. However, having been able to see both these teams up close and personal, understand the fans of both of these teams up close and personal, it's something I'm very proud of. But also, the best thing that could happen for me, and again, I'm going to be 78 years old here, sometime before I decide that I want to ride off in the sunset, I want to see a World Series with both the Cubs and the Sox. I think in this city, that would be the single greatest thing that ever happened. Better than, obviously, the Super Bowl Bears, better than the Blackhawks who won the 3 Stanley Cups. I mean, better than anything, because it would take the entire fandom of a city and they would just absolutely go crazy. Now, it'd be pretty disappointing for whoever loses that series. I just want to see that series because I think the city would be up for grabs. To me, there would be more excitement than ever. And the best part about that is as both teams would be closing in contention, both winning their divisions or the wild card, both getting to the World Series, the excitement that that journey would take would be something that nobody will ever forget that's a fan of either of the Chicago teams.
That's great stuff, Stoney. That is unforgettable. Thank you very much for joining us, and enjoy Houston. May we see Grant Taylor closing and saving a game for the White Sox tonight.
Wait.
Well, you're going to see him eventually, and I'm in Arizona. Gordon Beckham is going to take my seat. He's going to be a lot more comfortable than I am right now because it's about 105 degrees and I'm walking on a patio because I want to get out of the fans and all the misters that are going on to keep things livable. But I'll be watching the game.
Nice.
And I'll be pretty excited about it. And by the way, just from a strictly interesting standpoint, Houston is minus 180 tonight. I think you can get the Sox for plus 145.
Oh.
And for me, with Shane Smith pitching, to me, I guess they would call them a live dog, boys.
Okay, Stoney.
We got a live dog.
Let's go. Let's go.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah. Well, hey, let me just see that and add this to you, Stone. I feel like we're going back and forth here. His ERA, Shane Smith's, you ready for this, Steve, is the ninth lowest in club history by a pitcher in his first career 12 starts. How you like that for a dog or whatever you just said?
Well, having seen him just about every game he's thrown and see how good he's been, let's give him a great deal of credit. That's a wonderful stat. But go back and giving credit to the front office. There's two Rule 5 drafts on this team. It's difficult to get one who gives you a meaningful season. To get two is unbelievable. And Mike Vassell, who might wind up as a starting pitcher somewhere here, and Shane Smith are two Rule 5 drafts in the same year. That is great scouting. That is great evaluation of these guys that can really help this team, and both of them have been wonderful. Look at the numbers of Mike Vassell, and look at the numbers of Shane Smith, and you would say to yourself, how in the world did that team ever let them go? And one of the things that I said when I saw Shane Smith in spring training, I went to Chris Getz, and I said, you can't tell me there's 40 guys for a roster better than this guy.
Wow.
And he said to me, he's a different guy now than he was, because he added that changeup, and he picked up 2 or 3 miles an hour on the velocity. I don't know how he did it, but I do know he did it. And this guy that's pitching now, he's a number one or number two. And to say that he couldn't make the 40-man roster, he couldn't have been the same guy, because nobody lets this guy go for nothing in the Rule 5 draft. It's $50,000 you're letting this guy go. Well, if he was on the open market, if this was his free agent year, there's no telling what he could make. To me, as a starting pitcher, if he continues for the next 18, 19 starts, you're looking at a guy that pencils out probably as a $20 million starter. The Sox got him for $50,000.
God, man.
You figure it out.
This is the best I have felt about the Chicago White Sox all season long after talking to you. Congratulations, and thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, guys, I know you're pinch hitting, and hitting 100 for my career, I never had a chance to pinch hit, but have a good rest of the show, and hopefully we talk down the road.
All right, man.
Not 1,000, but 100.
There goes Steve. I'd say we're hitting about 270 or so. Yeah?
You think so?
Yeah, I think we're 270 still doesn't go out of style.
That's
right,
passable.
Steve? I mean, like 270 is not bad, right?
No, 270 gets you that big house and you drive that fancy car. If you can hit 270, drive in some runs, you can pretty much start where you want to start.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll take that.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Okay, guys, take care and have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk to you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.